This is the Vinny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Is this thing on? Hello! Hi, nice to see you. Well, that's a terrible start. I can't see you. Nice to hear you, if you call in, I suppose. 416-872-1010 if you want to call in on anything. Let's set this here show up. It's only an hour, so we better get to it. I'm Vinny. Hello. Nice to be here. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Someone said yesterday, do you fly in for this show every week? Didn't they? Well, sorry, last time I was doing the show, one of the guests said, do you fly in every week? And I like to keep that up. I'm going to start telling people that is what I do. I live in England and I just come here for this radio show. That would be weird because surely I could do the whole thing remotely anyway from a studio in London. So I don't know why they asked that. But I like the idea of living a sort of ritzy, glitzy, glamorous lifestyle. In reality, it's not true. I live in the somewhat more run-down area of Parkdale. Parkdale is full of hipsters in Toronto. And it's sort of up-and-coming, isn't it? But there are parts of it that are yet to up and come by a long way. And that's the bit that I live in with absolutely every other kind of immigrant from every other country in the world. So it's certainly it's a hotbed of activity. But you never know when you're going to get asked for a cigarette. A lot of that happens. And they're very lazy, the people in my area, I find. There's people that they ask me for cigarettes from their own porch of their house. I think if you're going to ask for a cigarette, not that I smoke, by the way, used to, past all that, I think really you should sort of, you know, roam the streets. The fact that they just hang out on their own porch and say, can I bum a smoke? That really freaks me out. So there you are. So yes, I've lived here for 7 years this week, by the way, kids. Yep, 7 years I've been in Canada and I've hit the dizzy heights of Parkdale. Didn't take long, so the career's going great. And it's nice to be here. Yeah, it was my 7th birthday of Canada on September the 11th this week. Always a cheery time of year, September the 11th. And it's also the day that I arrived 7 years ago, and I came here for 7 months. I moved here for a woman with a fantastic set of shirt potatoes, which I think might be somewhat derogatory to women, but they really were quite incredible. The allure of a bosom is enough to make a man across the Atlantic, as many people listening that have immigrated to this country will appreciate. It takes something rather special. She had a wonderful personality and was a decent person as well. But the allure of the boobs were the thing that grabbed me first. Not going to lie about it. The importance of attraction is there. Hormones, pheromones floating around the place. Big boobs were the original pull. But we didn't make it, bless her. She got married, I believe, this week to a Guatemalan. So that went well. And she now lives in Guatemala. Actually, a true story. So there you go. There's a little history about me. And now I'm going to tell you what's coming up in the next hour on this show that I do every week from 9 through till 10. Hot streetcar drivers. There's quite a lot of them. There's one in particular. I'd like to know if you know her. She's a stunner. We'll be discussing hot streetcar drivers. Surprising amount. Because it's more of a menial task that you wouldn't expect to find a stunner. And I got on one the other day. Blew my mind. She was so attractive. I'm going to talk about bad tenants and bad landlords. Are you a tenant or a landlord? Have you had problems with your other, significant other, in the sense of, you know, if you're a tenant, then do you hate your landlord? And if you're a landlord, do you hate your tenants? Inspired by the fact that I do own a house and my tenant is being somewhat awkward. So we'll talk about that. We're going to do the worst song titles of all time, which are also kind of the best song titles of all time. And whatever else happens, I don't know. It's pretty open, really. 416-872-1010. Live radio. My name is Vinny. It's News Talk 1010. I think I set everything up. All right? 416-872-1010. Just chip in wherever you like. And you can do the Star Talk thing, which I've never really understood, but I'll read it out anyway. Star Talk 8255. If someone would like to explain what that means, I'd love it. And you can also text the show on 71010, which is fantastic. I have a text machine next to me, not a telephone. It's far more advanced than that. It's a computer screen. Everything you text comes up. So if you want to send anything complimentary, send it my way. And anything offensive, send it to Pei Chen. Thank you. All right, so let's get cooking with this here thing with gas. I went to the Ukrainian festival today. I'm not Ukrainian. Some people do get confused about the accent, but I'm fairly confident I'm not Ukrainian. UKian, perhaps. But I went to the Ukrainian festival just to see. I love festivals. You know, I like sort of wandering around and seeing the hotbed of culture that is Toronto. And for a, you know, a nice new country, new city, you do tend to rely heavily on imports of culture, which is great. That's cool. And the Ukrainian festival was a huge success. One quick question. How old is too old for a balloon hat? That's something that struck me today. We could talk about Syria. A Sunday night, you know, I just want to keep it a bit lighter, really. I saw someone today, I'd say they were about 30, a couple, and they were wearing a balloon hat each, and they'd attached the balloon hats to each other. So they looked like sort of a comedy children's science experiment with headsets on. And I just thought, I like that, and I'm personally behind it. But some of my friends said that they're too old and you should stop when you're about 16 wearing balloon hats. I think, bring it on. I think as adults, we spend far too much time being serious. And if you want to stick a balloon hat on and celebrate your relationship, good for you. But maybe I'm wrong. So how old is too old for a balloon hat? All the important phone-ins right here on News Talk 1010. It'd be nice to hear from you on that. All right. Bad landlords, bad tenants. So this was inspired by my trip to Ottawa last week. I have a house. I used to live in Ottawa. And then I woke up one day and found out it was quite boring. So I moved and upgraded to Toronto, which is bigger and better in every way, other than the fact your sports teams are horrific. So I'm really not prepared to sign up and get behind any of them. But you're welcome to try and entice me into it. Before I move on to this, I want to talk about balloon hats because it's so important. 416-872-1010. We've got our first caller from Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hey, I don't think you can be too old for balloon hats. I don't think I'd ever wear one. But, you know, I was at the Axe this year. I saw an old couple, probably in their, I would say, early 70s, wearing balloon hats. And, you know, it's kind of cute.
God bless them.
I think you could be too British for sex.
Too British for what?
For sex.
Too British for sex?
No sex, please. We're British.
No, exactly. We that's why we have a dwindling population.
I just had to throw it in.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Yeah, that's why we have a dwindling population in the United Kingdom, because we're far too polite for sex. No, I agree with him on the hat issue, the incredibly important balloon hat issue. You're never too old. Although, I'd rather see two people, they're old, having a bit of a goo with balloon hats on, than the couples that decide to wear the same clothes. Oh, God, that annoys me. You know, when you're in a relationship and you're like, oh, I really need everyone to know just how much I love John, so I'm going to wear the same sweater as him. What is that? And you can see him in the crowd a mile away, messing around the place. Oh, look at us. We're so special. We need everyone to know we're in love. Be in love. Go home. Have rampant sex with each other. Use toys. Get others involved. Do what you need to do. But for the love of God, why do I need to know that you're a couple by wearing the same horrific sweater? That's my little thing. All right, 416-872-1010, if you have any input on this, or anything else for that matter. We could do serious, just can't really be bothered. I can't really, on Sunday. When I cover gym in the afternoon during the week, I do a bit of serious there. Yeah. First text in, wear what you want whenever you want, it's your life. See, that's the sort of forward-thinking, groovy, left-wing Canadian approach. But what about chaps with arse, with your bum hanging out? Would you be does that include it? We have British history, even Vinny, says someone. Toronto is home to the world record for the oldest British parade in North America, almost 200 years. Good. I didn't know that. Although I have to say it's not that surprising, but I'm very pleased. I know you have British history. I am aware of that. I did do a little bit of research before I came to this country. What language do they speak? What's the background? Do they like us? Is the Queen on the money? That's it was you or Australia or New Zealand. You know what this will do. All right. So that's that. Ukrainian festival was great today. That was a good laugh. Oh, yeah, I've done that. Sorry, I'm a bit all over the place because I'm still just recovering. And I know that there's people thinking I'm like hovering over the off button right now, because I know I've gone on about this a lot, but I'm just recovering from my ear infection, which I know I don't want to go on about it. I got all my sympathy last week from all two of you that phoned in to me. Nice. Thanks so much. And one of them included my mother. And so I don't want to bang on about it. But I tell you what, it's the most disgusting thing. And someone did text in and say, how's your ear? So let me tell you, there's I know it's disgusting, but I've got to be honest. I've got a fungal infection in my left ear, because I know you care which one. And It's disgusting. I've got mushrooms growing out of my head. There you go. Happy with that? Every day I put some ear drops in the morning and the evening, and it's a horrific affair. It really is. It's disgusting. But, you know, it could happen to you too if you went swimming in a pool in Toronto, which is what I did to get this in the first place. Yeah, but it could happen anyway. You can pick up bugs in lakes and all sorts. It's not the cleanliness of the pool that I'm bothered about. It's just life. All right. So where was I? Yeah, bad tenants, bad landlords. I wanted to ask what the most annoying thing your tenant landlord has done. And I stuck this on Facebook, and Facebook is always fantastic because it's instantly people get involved, and I'd like some thoughts from you. So 71010 on the text, the most annoying thing that your tenant or landlord has ever done. Chris says, not change the filter in the furnace. They're cheap, I see. Julia says, we were students on a co-op term, living in a really old house which had an oil furnace. We found out the hard way that the landlord had bad credit. The fuel company wouldn't come and fill up our oil tank unless the landlord was there to pay cash on the spot. He took 3 days getting around to do it. We lived in Ottawa and it was January. Oh my God. That's like a death sentence. I mean, living in Ottawa full stop. No, I don't. I'm kidding. I keep getting in trouble because every week I give Ottawa a dig. And there's all these people that come on my Facebook and go, you're a traitor, you used to live here. Why don't you like it? Every week, there's an uprising. But they're too polite to really get upset because they're from Ottawa. They're like, that's it. I'm going to not Facebook you for 2 or 3 days until I get over it. Nicole, I owned a property in Gatineau. Oh, again, we're in the Ottawa region. One of my tenants worked for E.B. Eddy's and was the best tenant ever for 8 years. I decided to put the property up for sale. When the agent went to show the property, the apartment where he lived, in which was up the stairs, you could see the kitchen. When you got to the kitchen door, the clients to show the property, Rick... Oh, my God. Oh, that's really quite dark. Rick had hung up a dead cat. It must have been dead for at least a week. Ooh. The tenant next door had moved out without telling me. Had to get a management company to go in and clean it up. That's twisted and slightly dark. And I feel a bit scared. I'm all alone. Jeff Dale says, semi-furnished apartment with no pet lease agreement. Tenants, a.k.a. good old boy rednecks, moved out on very short notice and left a written apology note. Tenants at some point had the cat from hell. The cat had torn up everything in my entire apartment, every furnishing. Also, the rednecks chewed tobacco and tobacco juice drippings. Oh, God. Were over much of the living room carpet. No pet and no redneck lease agreement from this point forward. I think you can't say that. I'm pretty sure you can't get that signed. Define redneck. It's difficult to do in a court of law, I would think. But I understand. Chewing tobacco. So they just spat it all over the place. Nice. 416-872-1010. Have you got the tenants from hell? Or perhaps you've got the landlord from hell. I had one that wouldn't break a window. He wouldn't fix a broken window. It was, I was living in England. It was about 10 years ago. It was my first ever place. And it was on the third floor. It was on Brighton, in Brighton, which is unlike your Brighton, in that it's on a beach. Well, I guess yours is kind of on a beach. It's not very nice, though, is it? One lighthouse. Really interesting. It would be if it hadn't shut down and halved in size. That's what I found out when I went to your Brighton. Anyway, I'm from Brighton in the south of England, and there's a lot of seagulls. And a seagull flew into my window, smashed it, middle of winter. I know, it's not a nice thing to wake up to, a dead bird hanging halfway in your window. Particularly, I was on the radio at the time and some people hated me. I was like, was that remote controlled? You never know. You never know. Err on the side of caution. And there's blood all over the window. It was disgusting. Have you seen the size of seagulls in the UK? I don't know what they do. They must go to the gym and do weightlifting. They are the most horrific things. And when one goes through your window and you're living in like a tiny little studio bachelor apartment and you're in bed and it's right next to your head, it is the most petrifying thing. They're scary when you walk around. Like if you come home from clubbing late, not clubbing seals, Canada, that's inhumane. When you come home from clubbing and you're wandering home, they take over the streets in the south of England and they sit there like poised as if they've got, you know, a job as a scaffolder. They're so tough
And they just stare you out as if to say, it's my time of day. Go to bed or I'll crap on your head. So, yeah, I had a bird fly into my place, wake me up, scare the life out of me. I phoned the landlord. I said, I've got a bit of a problem with my window. They said, well, we can't replace that because you broke it. I said, I swear to God I didn't. And I've got some pretty good evidence. It's like a half-dead seagull flapping right next to my head right now. If you want to come round, I suppose you think that I framed this, yeah? I suppose you think that I went down Brighton Beach, half-murdered a seagull, brought it upstairs, broke my own window, and put this... Is that what you think? And they're like, well, you know, it's very difficult to prove these things. Who do you think I am? All right, I'm a bit off the wall at times, but that is proper. I'm going to become a serial murderer. That is Dexter stuff right there. So, yeah, they never paid for it. And I had the indignity of putting a seagull out of its misery with a brick. Sorry about the graphic details. I had to do it. What am I going to do? It's not really fair to throw it out the window and hope it's going to fly. Believe me, it wasn't going anywhere. So I had to put it out of its misery. Terrible experience. And I had to pay for the window. Couldn't even charge it to the seagull. The seagull's guardians. All right, so anyway, get me your stories on that on text 71010, if you can beat that. Hazel says, my creeptastic landlord, named Adolf, oddly enough, owned a building that housed storefronts on the bottom level of and apartments. I'm on night shifts, sleeping in my bed. I wake up, and this guy is standing on a ladder, washing my bedroom window on the outside. I nearly sent him to the great beyond. He scared the bejeebers out of me, she says. 416-872-1010. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. You?
Well, I'm fine. I want to ask you a very good question. You'd be an expert on this.
Because, okay.
Which is tackier, Blackpool or Niagara Falls?
Oh, that's fantastic, because it's so close. Let's look at the evidence. So, Blackpool, you've got donkey rides, kiss me quick hats, incredibly bad weather, a lot of fat people, and the sort of overwhelming smell of chip fat on a permanent basis. And as a spokesman for Canada, perhaps you could explain Niagara Falls.
Cheesy wax museums, a dead downtown, bad motels, and all those other things in it. And, I mean, except for that, as a gigantic... I mean, the falls itself is gorgeous. Why anyone would go there, I've never figured out. And one other thing that, of course, Blackpool has that Niagara Falls doesn't have...
Go on.
...was a good football club.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got to hand it to them. Yeah.
And isn't Brighton where all the Tory conventions are?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's wherever the leading party have their conventions. So, from all the Tony Blair's reign, it was Labour conventions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought Labour went to Blackpool and Tories went to Brighton.
It's kind of like that. It's whoever's in power goes to Brighton, which makes me think that Brighton must be the best, because they're the daddies with all the money, right, and the power, and then everyone else goes to centre fairly dodgy British cities.
And have you been to Brighton Beach in New York?
No, I went to the one in, where is it? Melbourne, Australia. And that one was better than mine. I was a bit upset about it. What's the one like in New York?
It's the toughest place in the world.
Oh, I see. So you don't go wandering around there late at night unless you want to buy some drugs or prostitution.
Well, it's now where the Russian community lives.
I see. Okay, I don't want to do any profiling, so I think we'll leave that there. Thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate your call. Who phoned in from the middle of a highway? Hi, Ronnie. Your thoughts, please. 416-872-1010.
You were talking about landlord to tenant.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I was sleeping, and I heard this. My husband and I have two apartments on our second floor, and him and our kids were gone for the weekend, and I thought the roof was falling down. I went on the second floor, and there were 40 guys in kilts doing sword dancing.
What was that about?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, it was just like they decided to have a party on the balcony, and there were like 30, 40 guys in kilts doing sword dancing, and it was the celebration of Robbie Burns.
Yeah.
The poet.
Yeah, famous
and political
Scott.
Activist, I think. I don't know, but...
Yeah, it would have been Burns Day. That's the Scots
yeah,
go crazy.
Yeah, they were actually barbecuing haggis or something.
Oh, perfect. No, there's nothing like sheep's intestines to make a smile on your face. And I presume they had the most cheerful sounding of all instruments.
Oh, they're very cheerful. They were definitely dead to the wind.
And did they have the cheerful sounding instrument that is the bagpipes?
Yes, they did have bagpipes. They were doing Elton John and bagpipes. It's quite funny.
Well, not physically, I hope.
It was not. No, it's not bad. They were all pretty drunk, but they were all happy, so I had a good laugh.
All right, thanks, Ronnie.
Take care. Take care.
They were doing Elton John and bagpipes. You can take that any way you like. Thank you. That was very quick. Elliot, the producer, lightning, and with affiliations to Scotland. Any opportunity. Honestly, he put his kilt on, took his boxer shorts off, and showed me the great beyond. Okay. I quite like these texts. I've got the tenant from hell, says someone. I can't even speak to them anymore. I've got the tenant from hell. So you're a landlord, I'm assuming. I can't even speak to them anymore. They decided that it would be perfectly acceptable to use the bathroom without using the bathroom. What does that mean? Oh, he elaborates. It says here, oh my God, I went in for an inspection and they were not using the toilet anymore. Does that mean they were just, I mean, they're pooing on the floor? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, at least pop it in the bidet if it's a luxury apartment. Wow. That's actually, I'm not sure if anyone can beat that. My tenants are so great, they crap on the floor. It didn't say whether they're dogs. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, keep them coming in. What else are we going to do? I want to talk about... there's so much to do, and there's only half hour. Do we need to take a break first? All right, we'll do a cheeky little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the concept. We're going to do loads of things. We're going to do the best, worst song titles of all time. Really looking forward to that. There's some absolute peaches. And we'd like your thoughts. 71010 on the text, so you can call in. 416-872-1010. We're going to talk about Globesity and airlines. What should we do about the fact that obesity is spreading through the globe? Cleverly coined Globesity. And should we now be in a situation where if fat people, and I think that's the politically correct term for it, are determined to get on a plane and they're morbidly obese, should they pay for two seats or should the airline cough up? All that coming your way.
This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Hello, 9:34 is the time. I hate it when people do that to me, so I'll try not to do that again. When people start something by laughing, I just did that. It's quite rude, really.
You wouldn't possibly understand it, but it was so funny.
No, I'll tell you what I was laughing at, actually. I was trying out the new Siri. Well, it's actually not the new Siri, it's the old Siri. There's going to be a new Siri. Siri, by the way, is the fantastic device on the iPhone, and I say fantastic with a heavy amount of irony. It's the device that you can tell what to do. So, like this. Play songs from Nine Inch Nails.
Playing songs by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh my God, it actually got it right! That's the first time! Maybe it understands English. Oh! That's so exciting. I just said, I was trying it out. I said, play songs by Nine Inch Nails. And it said, calling Christy Sobel. It was like a woman I used to work with years ago. Anyway, the new Siri is coming out. And apparently it's better than ever, which means it's better than the crap that we've been putting up with if you use it. And yes, I'm ready for the amount of people that are going to call and say, of course it doesn't understand you. You've got the wrong accent. I know. But it's the thing that it does, honestly. The idea is that you can tell it what to do, and it'll do it. But the new iOS 7 is out on Wednesday, geeks, which means that for free, your phone, if you have an iPhone, will upgrade. It'll take about 3 days, because always all the geeks try to download it on the first day and the server crashes. So you know, you'll probably take about 3 days, and then obviously it won't work, obviously, and it will delete all your contacts. It'll be great. Isn't technology really helping life? So the new iOS 7 has the new Siri, so you can ask questions and hopefully get some answers. And it also has FaceTime audio, which everyone at Apple's going, oh, it's going to revolutionise the world. Skype's been around for about 10 years. It's just Skype with a different name. Probably comes in a box painted white and sold for $3,000 like everything else with Apple. I love them, but I hate them. So, yeah, hopefully the new Siri will be breathtakingly different. Maybe this will happen, maybe it won't.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Bull. What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I come.
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey look, I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is this my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it!
Send my wife directions to hell! Yeah!
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
So the new iOS 7 is out on Wednesday to absolutely complicate, mess up your life and make you feel inadequate in every possible way. Isn't life great? Thanks, Apple. Globesity, it's a crisis. Fatty. I don't think I just accidentally said fatties. Is that okay? No, apparently that's not okay. People with obesity, not fatties. Fatties definitely rude. From Mexico to Qatar, obesity rates are soaring to unprecedented levels. The alarming trend is damaging economic performance as well as the health of millions of consumers worldwide. Take our increasingly sedentary lifestyles, mix in generous portions of American fast food and dubious agricultural practices, and a dash of corporate duplicity, and you have a recipe for high obesity rates across the planet. The newly released United Nations report on global nutrition does not make for very appetizing reading. Our fattening planet is dragging down world productivity rates. We're so fat, we can't be arsed anymore. In the USA, health insurance costs now $3.5 trillion a year. That's 5% of GDP. 32% of US adults are now considered clinically obese. That's approximately double the US obesity rate registered in 1995. According to data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. So 32% in the US. Have a quick stab. What do you think it is here in Canada? And it is lower.
Percentage
of... Sorry, I just went off to get a pizza. God, crack myself up. All right. The percentage here in Canada of clinically obese people. 32% in the States. What do you think? 24%. It's not that bad. I mean, it's bad. It's terrible considering what it used to be. It used to be about 10, and that was about 20 years ago. So it's already doubled. But what really shocked me about this new report that's come out is Mexico. 33% of Mexican adults are now considered to be clinically obese. The Mexicans are officially fatter than the Americans. Taco mungus. The Mexicans are getting fat thanks to the North American Free Trade Agreement, says an article. NAFTA, it's becoming a dumping ground for a slew of cheap fast food and carbonated drinks. There are more than 1,200% increase in the amount of high fructose corn syrup exports from the US between 1996, before NAFTA kicked in, and 2012. So in other words, it says, according to this article, Mexicans are getting fat thanks to NAFTA. I think they're also getting fat thanks to food. Just going to chuck that out there, probably. Might be that, and soda. Mexicans now consume 43 gallons of soda per capita annually, giving the country the world's highest rate of soda consumption, according to estimates by Mexico's National Statistics Agency. So we're living here in Canada. We can quite literally look down at everyone else and say, look at us, thin and sexy, compared to you. But the world is getting fatter. Canada's getting fatter. I think it was last year, for the first year ever, that the medical system here
is now pumping more money in to obesity-related diseases and than it is to smoking-related diseases. That's what's happening. But here's my question for you, ladies and gentlemen. What about when you get on an airplane? I said airplane. I wanted to say aeroplane, but you guys took a couple of letters out because you were too busy eating. I think you took the O out of aeroplane and ate it with a bar of chocolate. Oh, don't get offended. I'm just being an idiot. You know that I'm not exactly. I know this is a hell of a shock for you girls, but I'm not actually Brad Pitt. I know. Or Jude Law, which I sound like, and I'm sure you think I look like, but believe me, not that sexy. Here's my question to you. Should our airfare be based on how much we weigh? 416-872-1010. And the reason I bring this up is that some people are doing this. Honestly. So here's a few policies of airlines around the world. I'll just bang them out quickly, because there's absolutely no uniformity on this whatsoever. American Airlines, the current policy regarding overweight, obese passengers states that any traveller who requires an additional seat will be given an additional seat whenever there is one available, if there's one available. When this airline, American Airlines, cannot find an additional seat for the passenger, that passenger may be required to purchase a second seat for a new or wait for a new flight. That's the way it's going. But not everyone agrees. There are people, like this lady you're about to hear from, that has actually made some civil and legal action about it.
When I was flying with Southwest Airlines, they told me I was too fat to get on the airplane without buying an extra ticket. And they told me in front of a gate full of people. They asked my clothing size, how much I weighed. I asked what the policy was, and no one knew it. So it was traumatic. They apologized profusely, saying that this isn't the way that they do things, and asked me to fly with them again. So I did. I think everyone deserves a second chance. I know that I like to have them. And the next flight I took was fine. Then, you know, I took another flight, at which point I was embarrassed again. So at that point, I decided to sue them.
And she lost, by the way, just so you know. So that's one American who, funnily enough, she doesn't actually look that fat when she's in the interview. She doesn't block out any light, which I think is a clinical test. And I've got a load of whale jokes that I could make and then get fired, so I think I won't. But yeah, she's not. She must have lost a lot of weight, but presumably she was extremely obese. You'd have to be told that you can't board a plane as she was. The United Airlines policy regarding overweight passengers aboard one of its flights is strict. Passengers who are unable to secure their seatbelt, who are unable to lower their armrests, and who are encroaching too much on the personal space of the person sitting next to them will be required to purchase a secondary seat. Fact. That's just the way they do things. 416-872-1010, your thoughts on this. We'll start with Mo. Hi, Mo.
Hey, how are you, buddy Vinny?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. I don't think I'm gorgeous, but I don't think I'm paying for another seat yet. Your thoughts on this?
I got two quick points. I think Canada has the less percentage of clinically obese because, first, we're left-wing and we can't call people we can't call reality by its name.
Yeah.
So, for us, 40 pounds above norm is still chubby, not fat in Canada. Now, the other point I have is in fast food stores or restaurants, what they should do, they should put a scale, and based on your dimensions, a special menu lights up for you.
What? So you walk in, and you don't make an order, you just get on the scale, and then if you're nice and light and tight and looking sexy and trim and everything's working out, then it comes up that you want the big milkshake and the Big Mac.
Well, you step on the scale and says you're allowed this food. If you're big, if you're like healthy and not really fat, I'm a guy who's in the gym 3-4 times a week,
okay.
45 years old, 6 feet, I'm 145 pounds, so I think I'm in a skinny side, but I do put an effort to stay like that.
Thanks a lot, Mohammed, and thanks for the graphic report on your body. If I was a homosexual, I'd probably be quite into it. Okay, Jan, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, it's just a big bone of contention with my husband and I. When we fly, I mean, if we have excess baggage, we are going to be charged, and it can be considerable on some of the more, like some of the charter airlines, yet they don't charge excess for people that are obviously bigger than us, and it's all about freight on board, right? That's really the bottom line. When they're loading up the plane, it's based on the weight. So definitely there should be some consideration how they're going to roll it out, I don't know, but I really think it's something that needs to be considered, just like from weight alone, and that's it.
Would you be happy to institute a pay-by-weight system?
I think, you know what, I think there's a way of doing it. Yeah, I do.
Mm, yeah. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. Well, actually, Jan isn't actually that far off the mark because people have done it. Samoa Air recently became the world's first airline, and I'm not joking, to institute a pay-by-weight system where the weight of a passenger and his luggage correlates exactly to the fare. Chief Executive Chris Langton says the new approach is not just the fairest way to charge passengers, but also addresses the obesity crisis, which in Samoa, by the way, they love a bit of chicken. It's an acute situation in Samoa. So that's what they're doing. You know what Air Canada do? You might not know this. This went into effect a few years ago. They state that obese passengers must get a medical certificate from their doctor, which is good for 2 years of travel. And if they can provide that, then Air Canada will give them another seat, the seat that they need, right? So it must be like, hi, are you fat? Yes. Can you prove it? Yes, I've got a certificate here from my doctor. And also, you can probably tell that I enjoy KFC, and I don't go in there for the salad. You know what I mean? It's like you have to get a certificate. Imagine that. And there's even a chart. I'm not making this up. On the Air Canada website, it shows a diagram that you can print out and give to your doctor. And your doctor can compare your bottom to the picture of the bottom, the posterior. Yeah. I'm not making it up. Look at it. And he can say, yeah, I think you're fat. I'm going to sign a document here that says you're fat. And you can give that to Air Canada. And good luck, by the way. I'm sure that won't lose you any dignity at all. Because already getting half naked and standing with your arms far apart while your pants fall down, probably not for them. Probably not for them, actually. Okay. While your pants fall down, you're in a ghost machine that can see your penis and in all its 2 inches of glory. That is big, isn't it? Yeah. And yeah, that's not lacking in any dignity. Already. So now you've got to go to a doctor, say, hi, doc, can you just, you look at this diagram and just sign this bit of paper to say that I'm fatty, and then I'll just give that to the airline. But then, in fairness, what do you do? You know what I mean? It is a bit of a hot potato, excuse the food reference. Right, hello, Stephen.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know. You should be taxing fat people at a higher rate, depending on the pavement, on the roads, you know. Obviously, they're doing more damage to the planet this way.
Wow, so you're not just doing it on the airlines. You're taking this whole thing out to the roads, the pavements, and everything else.
Yes. You know, look, the airlines used to have good-sized seats that the thin people were swimming in and the fat people were comfortable in. Yeah. They've made the seats narrower because they're trying to squeeze everybody in. It's not that the fat people are occupying more seats. It's that they're... The airlines change the size of the seats to get more passengers.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. Appreciate it. Let's hear one more clip.
I was flying actually premium economy, so quite a generous seat in relative terms. And I was in the window seat and the person came next to me in the aisle seat. And as soon as the seatbelt sign came off, she called the flight attendant over and asked if she could be relocated if there was a seat elsewhere because she was physically uncomfortable sitting next to me. And that was very embarrassing.
I used to get very anxious when I was going on holiday because I knew that I'd have to pluck up courage to ask for that orange belt. And I'd look around and I'd think, oh, are there enough? And then in the end, my husband used to ask for me and say, have you got the extension? And they were nice, the hostesses, but it's very degrading.
I appreciate that, and I know that no one wants to be put in that situation, but the woman that complained and said, I'd like to sit somewhere else because this person morbidly obese next to me is taking up a great deal of my room. By the way, she probably thought the whole thing was quite embarrassing as well. She probably didn't enjoy saying that. She's not walking around life desperately trying to make you feel awful about your body. She just may have had half a seat. So, your thoughts I'd like on 71010. She tried to sue them, says someone, and she lost. Great, I'm glad to hear that. All those idiots whose last resort is to try and extort money for their feelings being hurt when they could just go to the gym, says someone in Hamilton, Ontario. Wow. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 10 worst and best song titles of all time. It's going to be fantastic.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Awesome.
9:54 is the time, live and direct. My name is Vinnie White. I do this radio show through from 9 through till 10 every week. And if you like it, you can download the MP3 for free at vinniewhite.co.uk. You can Google me should you feel the need, because I've got a peculiar spelling of Vinnie. vinniewhite.co.uk. And hear these shows on the move if you want. Have a little chuckle on the bus or whatever they make you do. Hopefully touch yourself. But let's be honest, probably not. The other thing I should say, because I always said that I would try to promote my other business and I always forget. So here's a quick plug for my other business, well, my only business, MrPhotoCanvas.com. Would you like your prints blown up on canvas? You can pick them up in Toronto. They're very cheap and high quality. MrPhotoCanvas.com. Good, that's that out of the way. Right, best and worst songs of all time. I'm going to go really quickly to this call, very quick. Emily, be a bit speedy, love, because we have moved on, but I like your name.
It's Emily.
Hello, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
All right, I love you, but can you get to the point? Yes.
I'll go really quickly to the point. I think when we talk about things like obesity and people being on planes, that in terms of how we approach it, it might be better to approach it with a bit less judgmental way of looking. It's easy to point fingers, and you can do it about people's weight. You can do it about how people smell when you're in that proximity, and there's all sorts of stuff going on with people wearing scents. But we should really address the problem as a whole in terms of how we talk about health of individuals and how we get individuals to focus more on health. And I'm not one to make excuses for people, but I also think it's not really fair, and I'm sort of making a rebuttal to your two previous callers about...
I was wondering when this would happen, because I thought there might be a bit of balance, nicening it up and making it a little bit more soft and Canadian. Listen, Emily, I'm going to move on, but I do appreciate your point, and we'll give you the final word on that. All right, best and worst songs of all time. We might run out of time. If we do, we're going to bump it over to next week. Here you go, kids. These are some absolute peaches. The best and worst songs of all time and their beautiful names. Starting with, "You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly."
Well, you're the reason I'm riding around on recap tires.
And you're the reason I'm hanging our clothes outside on wars.
And you're the reason our kids are ugly, little darling. Oh, but looks ain't everything.
So that's the "You're the Reason Our Kids Are So Ugly," or as Emily, our last caller, would call that title, "You're the Reason Our Kids Are Not in Quite As Beautiful As Some Other Children," but in the interest and balance and safety, they really are going to do very well in life, and I support them in every possible way. All right, from there we go to this fantastically morbid and frankly bizarre song, "He Hit Me, and It Felt Like a Kiss."
He hit me, but it did.
What happened next? Say it. I'm sure this is wonderful.
He hit me.
He hit me. Yep, go on.
And it felt like a kiss.
Right, good. Okay. Well, you might be interested to know that the Crystals in 1962 made this song. It did actually get some airplay. And then there was widespread protest of the song, concluding that it may be a song that endorses spousal abuse. Now, on a slightly lighter note, there's this little peach.
I don't like your peaches.
That's one of probably the deepest songs ever written, I would say. There's real poetry there. Really, really giving Nine Inch Nails a run for their money on every possible angle. It was Hoosier Hotshots recorded the song in 1941, and you probably haven't heard it before. Good reason for that is crap. Next one. That's a quandary we've all faced at some time. This song is called "I Don't Know Whether to Kill Myself or Go Bowling." Awkward, I'm sure. It's the last track on the Instant Witness album, Noise, Gunk, Murder, Castle. And it's actually from 2011. It sounds quite cool, but it's a slightly bizarre situation. Then there's this, which is frankly just an awful pun.
My dog keeps on moving.
Actually, get rid of it. It's so bad I can't bear to hear it. If we ever did get to the chorus, which if you do, you do contemplate while you're doing it. It's a song called You Can Have Your Cake and Edith Too. I don't even know if that makes sense. Next week, we'll investigate more titles like I've Been Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart and Get Your Tongue Out My Mouth, because I'm kissing you goodbye. And on that note, I suppose I could say the same thing to you. Been a pleasure. Always is. See you next week. 9 o'clock through till 10. My name's Vinny. Bye.
From the National Newsroom of the Canadian Press, I'm David Bent. Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird has spoken out against corruption during a visit to Algeria, where Canadian engineering giant SNC-Lavalin is under investigation. The Montreal-based company is accused of using bribes to land contracts. Baird appeared to disparage SNC during a news conference in Algiers, saying the company is not representative of Canadian businesses. He later tweeted, though, that the company now has new leadership and a new way of doing business focused on ethics. The Harper government says it's disappointed to learn that two Canadians detained in Egypt will remain in prison for at least another couple of weeks. Toronto filmmaker John Grayson and London, Ontario doctor Tarek Loubani were arrested in Cairo a month ago. Their families